Good morning to you all. This is Natalia Agudelo, and I want to thank you for your participation in this fourth quarter result presentation. We have Jorge Amado Velázquez, President of Grupo Argos, Alejandro Rodríguez Araiza, Strategy and Finance Corporate VP, Rafael Olivera, President of Corporate Matters in Grupo Argos, Mauricio Onza, President of Odinsa, Pablo Royalde, Vice President of Corporate Finances for Odinsa, Maria Clara Aristizabal, Manager for the Urban Development Business. This conference is being translated into English simultaneously. Remember you all that our reports, as well as the financial reports, relevant information and presentations are published in Spanish, and English in our portal for investors in www.grupoargos.com. In our website, we have made available a presentation that will be following your digital conference. In order to download it, you can access the menu, clicking on financial information. Afterwards, clicking on reports, we will find a file called Presentation 4T2020. I want to invite you all to go over the presentation on slide number three, and I'll give the word to Jorge Amado Velázquez, Grupo Argos President. Thank you, Natalia. Good morning to you all. Thank you for being with us during this call in order to share with you the results for the fourth quarter 2020. And I wanted to begin by hoping you all well with health and getting ready to step outside this such profound shock that we've suffered as society, but we are starting to see that light at the end of the tunnel for all of us. So thank you very much, and it's a pleasure having you all. I would start by saying that if 2020 presented obviously a challenge, very important challenge for society and for the business group, the organization has proven this year its adaptation capacity, its equity strength in order to navigate these extreme shocks, achieving results that, even though have been impacting the economy due to its closures, such as cement dispatches, or for example, the airport closure for several months, as well as roads. The reduction of traffic in shopping malls, where a large part of our operations is focused, all this started showing a positive trend quarter after quarter, and at the end, results that even though have been impacted on their numbers due to this economic deceleration, do present better results than the one that we could have imagined at the beginning of this situation with such a large impact. Today, we count with a solid organization, structurally speaking, with a debt that's located in the same levels that we had in 2019. Our businesses have proven the adaptation capacity in order to keep on generating cash, even in the most challenging moments, but at the same time, they proved the necessary flexibility in order to adjust all our structures, both in cost and expenses, according to the difficulties that we faced in this unpredictable moment. Priorities that we defined and the action plan that we implemented in a fast and anticipated manner at the beginning of March allowed us to mitigate the financial effects that this pandemic brought with. I would like to highlight the role of Grupo Argos as a strategic articulator in a coordinated effort with all the companies in order to keep on contributing in synergy creation as a powerful source of value generation, and at the same time as an articulator of a strategy that's known for our long-term vision. Thanks to this joint effort, during 2020, we were able to move investments for more than 1.4 trillion Colombian pesos, guaranteeing at the same time the continuity and reliability of the operation and the highest quality standards of our products and services. Likewise, in OpEx, terms, we were able to reach savings that reached to the figure of 541 billion Colombian pesos. For those 541 billion Colombian pesos, we want to highlight a reduction in the structure expenses for more than 165 billion Colombian pesos. This is 11% less compared with 2019. In addition, in order to guarantee the liquidity during such uncertain moments and the highest moment of uncertainty of the year, we took insured credits for 1.4 trillion Colombian pesos that during the year were prepaid thanks to the solid cash generation of all of our businesses. Once we go over the financial results, you'll be able to evidence the relevance that, as I said, these actions had in order to make the cost and expense structure more variable that we consider were fundamental initiatives in order to maintain our equity strength, the equity strength of our business group in such a difficult year. I would like to start by the operational results of our different businesses. In such way, we'll be able to have a better landscape and a better understanding of how the consolidated result of Grupo Argos is constructed and analyzing simultaneously the accelerated recovery that we have been seeing since the beginning of the second quarter last year and that during December showed not just a very positive view or expectancy for 2021 and 2022, but also with a solid competitive position and very similar to what we had previously in our operations. So let me begin by each one of the businesses. Now I want to invite you to follow the results of our cement business. In our cement business, we closed the fourth quarter 2020 with 4 million tons of sold cement, 2% higher than the volume that we reached the same period last year and 25% higher than the volume that we had for the second quarter 2020. This was the period where we had the largest lockdowns and where the pandemic was hitting strongest. We want to highlight that during November and December, we increased the cement volumes compared with the same months previous year in 7%. This is a very positive signal facing 2021. Even though that during the fourth quarter, we saw a contraction in the concrete sales in the United States, dropping at 21% compared with the same period last year due to climate conditions that were less favorable in several of the states that we operate that delayed the advancements of those works that our customers have been leading, we're completely trustful on the reactivation given the different economic dynamism context that we're seeing locally, regionally, and global towards post-COVID recovery. Likewise, the indicators concerning the sectors all around our geographies prove recovery signals. We want to highlight that in Colombia, we saw an acceleration of new housing sales during the last quarter that grew 35% year after year, reaching 59,000 sold housing units in the United States for the month of December. The construction expense increased 5.7% year after year, and the housing construction licenses, that's a leading indicator for future cement consumption, grew 17% year after year. Meanwhile, in Central America and the Caribbean, the majority of the regions and countries, with the exception of Panama, that has had a slower recovery, have proven a positive dynamic in the self-construction that's leading the cement demand. Thanks to the progressive recovery in the sales volumes, we were able to achieve revenues in Cementos Argos for 2.3 trillion Colombian pesos for the quarter. This is a very stable result compared with previous year, and we reached an adjusted EBITDA for non-recurrent operations for 448 billion Colombian pesos, which grows 16% compared with the fourth quarter previous year. The implemented efforts by the company in order to optimize its expense and cost structure during the pandemic represented in savings for 2020 of more than $115 million were key in order to operate in a lighter manner and close that base in order to follow that path of profitability maximization that we expect to maintain even further than 2021. Celsia. 2020 was a year that has proven the stability and resilience of the energy business of Grupo Argos. If we, even though we never stopped our operations during the year, the electric sector was also affected by this global economic deceleration that was translated in a demand drop in Colombia of 2.6%, particularly impacted by the consumption of the industrial segment that decreased a 3.4%. The accumulated energy generation for the company dropped a 7% during the year if we exclude the generation of the Termoflores plant that had been sold in September 2019. Nevertheless, thanks to a better hydrology during the last weeks of the year in Colombia, Celsia closed the year with reservoirs at a 67% level. It's a very healthy level in order to face those dry periods that we'll be facing in 2021. In the distribution and commercialization energy sectors, we closed the sector with 876 gigawatts sold per hour, very aligned with what we had recorded in the same quarter previous year, with a base that is consolidated today higher than 1.2 million customers in Colombia. In the financial aspect, the company reached revenues for 898 billion Colombian pesos and an EBITDA of 336 billion Colombian pesos for the quarter, which represents a reduction of 7 and 11% respectively, compared with the same quarter previous year. This drop is explained mainly by the creation of Caoba. That's our investment platform with Cubico Sustainable that incorporated the assets of what we call Plan Cinco Caribe, Tolu Viejo, and the assets of level 3 and 4 for Tolima. Starting from 2020, this platform has been deconsolidated from our Celsia financial results. When we eliminate this effect, the EBITDA dropped 3% in the quarter, even though that it has grown through the year at an 8% rate. We also want to highlight the investment plan that has been programmed for our energy business for 2020 for close to 3.6 trillion Colombian pesos, from which 1.4 trillion will be contributed by the company and the rest by the platforms in order to strengthen and improve the quality of the service, which is an aggressive strategy for energy, for renewable energy growth, non-conventional renewable energy growth, and the consolidation of the distribution and transmission assets under the strategic alliance scheme that have been proving to be a powerful route in order to keep on growing in a profitable manner around this business. Odensa. Moving on to the road and airport concessions, we see a year with higher operational affectations given that the passenger and vehicle flows were highly impacted by the constraint measures, mobility constraint measures decreed by the authorities in order to mitigate the propagation of the virus. The magnitude of the impact for an infrastructure asset that faces the loss of revenues but keeps its availability and honors the debt service is, of course, very relevant. In the segment of road concessions, the traffic dropped to less than a third part between February and April, but recovered in the measure that the mobility constraints were lifted, reaching a total of 123,000 vehicles mobilized per day during the month of December. This figure is 3% less than that what we recorded the same month previous year. We want to highlight, under this respect, a performance traffic-wise higher than the last month previous year for all concessions in respect with our historic data, in exception with Túnel de Oriente concession that has a higher correlation with the José María Córdoba Airport traffic and that ended with levels of 81% of vehicles compared with the same month previous year. In airports, we went from moving 3.3 million passengers month on average in 2019 to 1 million passengers month on average during 2020. As you can see on slide number 7, this business confirms an accelerated recovery for roads since May, while the airport business began presenting recovery signals since September, with a gradual reopening of El Dorado Airport that began progressive operations with national passengers moving on afterwards to the reactivation of international flights. A segment that we want to mention contributes with the highest traffic rate in terms of the results for this asset. El Dorado closed in December with 1.4 million passengers, meaning by this 54% less that would have been recorded same month, 2019, but substantially higher and with practically no performance during the confinement months. Economically speaking, we have achieved important advancements in negotiations with competent authorities in order to reach the economic reestablishment of the contracts that had their equilibrium affected by the ordered closures by the concedents. We also want to let you know that with the support of the different agencies, the National Infrastructure Agency has subscribed two agreements with the different road concessions in order to mitigate the impact of the pandemic. In this, we recognize the affectation of the revenues due to the stop of the toll charges for those vehicles that were going over the national territory, and also the affectation due to the reduction of traffic in the different toll booths as a condition to the measures adopted by the national government. In respect with the airport concessions, our OPAEN subsidiary, together with the rest of the airport concessions of the airport of the country, sorry, signed a memorandum of understanding with ANI, in which it's recognized that the adopted measures by the national government in order to avoid propagation of COVID-19, implying the total restriction of commercial flights between March and September of 2020, generating an impact in regulated revenues and non-regulated revenues for the concession. Attending this, the concession for El Dorado Airport will have an extension to that the date that had initially been established that will compensate regulated and non-regulated revenues that were not perceived between the 23rd of March and the 30th of September 2020. These agreements that have been reached for road and airport concessions and that are not reflected in the financial results for this period have been estimated over 400 billion Colombian pesos and partially mitigate the impacts in the equity value of the assets, granting an extension without costs to these dates that we had initially specified in the contract. Odinsa closed the fourth quarter with revenues close to 204 billion Colombian pesos. This is 13% growth compared with 2019, where road concessions keep proving strength both from their contractual model as well as from the traffic side. Nevertheless, the airports that enter through a participation method through Odinsa keep impacting the results in a very important manner, with a negative variation for the quarter close to 18 billion Colombian pesos. EBITDA for the period closed in 76 billion Colombian pesos, with a drop of 16%, excluding the non-recurrent effects. It's also rightful to remember that Grupo Argos consolidates El Dorado Airport. The asset that reflects, has to be said, the highest affectation in the concession business, and that reflected a net loss of 14 billion Colombian pesos during the quarter. Now, let me move on and discuss the real estate business, and I want to invite you to see the main highlights that we have on slide 8, where we highlight that at the end of this period, there were businesses for 136 billion that, together with those that have been signed in previous year, ensure 290 billion Colombian pesos of revenues for the next 5 years. Within these promises, within the sale promises, we have the last block of the project that we've called Riviera de Mallorquín. It's one of the most innovative urban developments in the country that concentrates in attending social interest housing demand in a sustainable, inclusive manner, and based on quality, material quality standards and urbanism standards that exceed other national reference, and will turn this project into an iconic project for Colombia. With this last sales promise that we have signed, we've completed the closure of those five land lots that are part of the first stage of this project, and that contributed during the year 54 billion Colombian pesos to our financial results. This contributed to the fact that in 2020, the urban development business grew a 7% EBITDA-wise compared with previous year, closing in 48 billion Colombian pesos, without bearing in mind the results of Pactia Real Estate Fund. We also want to highlight that we were able also to postpone CapEx investments for 39 billion Colombian pesos that will be executed in the upcoming years, with which the business closed the year with a positive net cash flow of more than 14 billion Colombian pesos. In respect to the real estate rental business, Pactia, for the fourth quarter, we had an effective gross revenue of 74 billion Colombian pesos, a decrease of 15% year after year, while the operational net revenue was of 50 billion Colombian pesos, decreasing 14% year after year. EBITDA for the quarter was 31 billion, and it presented a reduction of 21% year after year. These differences in results reflect the reliefs that Pactia has granted to its customers in shopping malls, and less revenue to available rooms in the hotel, due as a consequence of the pandemic. But nevertheless, when we adjust these changes through the accounting in the property taxes and non-recurrent revenues, the operational revenue and EBITDA dropped 1% and 2% respectively. In terms of the same assets for the year, the reduction year after year of the effective gross revenue was of 8%, and 2% for the operational net result, and 4% for the EBITDA. It's also important to highlight that in the last quarter, we saw a very strong recovery in the Colombian economy and in the real estate sector. The fund placed more than 44,000 square meters of rentable gross area, and sold non-strategic assets for a value close to 67 billion pesos. Also, during the fourth quarter 2020, Plaza Shopping Mall presented increases of 58% in their traffic and 30% in terms of sales, compared with the results they had in third quarter last year, while the seven hotels that we have in our portfolio went from a 10% occupation to a 25% occupation rate. This landscape that presents the results and dynamics of each one of the businesses within our business group. Let us now look at the consolidated results. As you have been able to see, the results of our different businesses were impacted by the effects of COVID-19. They also show our rigorous and disciplined management in order to mitigate these external shocks and to support a progressive reactivation that we have been evidencing with positive results in the majority of our businesses during this fourth quarter. On slide 11, you'll be able to see the consolidated results. Revenues for 2020 reached 14 trillion Colombian pesos, closed in 3.6 trillion Colombian pesos. This is 8% less compared with the adjusted results for non-recurring operations of 2019, but 4% higher than what we had in the third quarter 2020. We also want to highlight the performance of the energy business with contributions to consolidated revenue of that fourth quarter for 892 billion Colombian pesos that represented 25% of the total revenues, followed by the cement business with a contribution of 2.3 trillion Colombian pesos equal to 65% of the revenue. This behavior in our consolidated values was impacted by the shock of the airport business that consolidated, as we mentioned before, our Grupo Argos, and that meant a lower contribution of the concession business for 181 billion Colombian pesos compared with the revenue of fourth quarter of previous year. In total, costs, expenses dropped in 1.4 trillion Colombian pesos during 2020 that are equal to a reduction of a 10% year after year and reassure the magnitude of the shock, but at the same time, the importance of a mitigation plan that has been previously mentioned. Consolidated EBITDA closed fourth quarter 789 billion Colombian pesos with an increase of 1% compared with the same quarter previous year, eliminating the non-recurrent effects. This behavior obeys with the variability of the costs and expenses that we led in order to adapt ourselves to those external shocks in order to protect our margin and the sustainability of our organizations. On slide 14, you'll be able to see the detail of the structural expense reduction in each one of our businesses. It was a joint effort that was indispensable in order to keep the organization's profitability. Moving on to the non-operational results, the financial expense for the year reached 1.2 trillion Colombian pesos and it dropped 36 billion Colombian pesos. This is 2.8% lower compared to what we had in 2019, explained by the reduction of the interest rates and a proactive management from our different treasury offices in the reprofiling of debt. This exercise led the companies to carry out operations with the bank and with the capital market over to 1 trillion Colombian pesos in favorable rate and term conditions. Cementos Argos advanced successfully with the emission of 250 billion Colombian pesos that was placed on November. This operation allowed to improve the average life of the total debt that dropped in a short-term portion, going from a 25% in the middle of 2020 to a 14% at the end of this year. From its side, in Odessa, there was a refinancing of the Tunnel de Oriente debt for 660 billion Colombian pesos last month of the year, what reassures the coherence of the plan in the moment of the acquisition, and allowed us to use the leveraging capacity that the asset has in order to reduce the indebtedness of the company in front of its debt level that we had in September 2020, simultaneously maximizing the present value of the concession. Bearing in mind what has been previously said, we want to highlight that in this exercise that has shown a significant devaluation of the Colombian peso, and given that 37% of the organization's debt is on U.S. dollars due to our international operation, we were able to close 2020 with a consolidated indebtedness of 16.7 trillion Colombian pesos. This is just 3% higher than what we had in December 2019. If we eliminate the effect of the exchange rate variation, the debt increase would be even lower than 1%. Net debt registered a small reduction during the year and was located in 15.4 trillion Colombian pesos. The net profit for 2020 closed in 154 billion Colombian pesos, and from the controller side in minus 100 billion Colombian pesos, given that the highest effects have been happening in those sectors where we participate, such as the airport concessions. But nevertheless, we also want to highlight the capacity that the organization has in order to generate an operational cash flow for 2.8 trillion Colombian pesos. This fact allowed us to proceed with our operations and comply with all our obligations, proceed with our investment and adjustment maintenance programs, closing the year with a strong consolidated position that reached 2.7 trillion Colombian pesos. Our indebtedness levels and the continuity prove the structural solidness that Grupo Argos had in moments of shocks, such as the one we saw previous year. Now I want you to move on to look at the separated results that are on slide number 16. In respect with the separated results, 2020, the revenues reached 256 billion Colombian pesos with a positive contribution of our cement businesses, energy, and real estate that added with the disinvestments and with the dividends of portfolio investments reached 457 billion Colombian pesos compared with the losses of 204 billion Colombian pesos in the concession business that are registered, as we had previously mentioned, in the Grupo Argos revenues through the participation method. During the year, the manageable expenses dropped a 10% in nominal terms. EBITDA was 83 billion Colombian pesos, and the net profits reached minus 59 billion Colombian pesos, mainly due to the negative effects over the concession business that we had broadly explained. It is also very important to highlight that the operational cash flow during the period at a separated level had a positive behavior, reaching 103 billion Colombian pesos, driven by the expense efficiencies. In terms of the capital structure, Grupo Argos closed with a separate debt of 1.6 trillion Colombian pesos, which doesn't represent a variation in comparison with the close of 2019. The financing source diversification capacity and the liquidity of Grupo Argos at a separate level, besides the rightful and timely financial management, has allowed us to keep that trust of the market that at the end of October supported the ordinary bond exchange for an amount of 137 billion Colombian pesos. This transaction constitutes as the first private debt exchange that has happened in the country, representing a milestone in the capital markets of Colombia, contributing at the same time to its development and indebtedness. In addition, we also want to highlight the credit refinancing with a local bank for close to 480 billion Colombian pesos that extend the debt average life from 5.7 years in September to 6.3 years at the end of December 2020, achieving a reduction in the debt concentration between 2022 and 2023 of a 47% to an 8% of the total expiries. With this transaction, we're also able to take advantage of the favorable conditions of the market in order to access debt at much more competitive rates. Even though the consolidated and separated results were impacted by the external shock of the pandemic, the strategic coherence of a long-term vision of Grupo Argos proved its power and solidness during the year. Three milestones during the 2020 ratified the strength that has characterized this organization for the last 90 years. The company, first of all, was able to keep a stable net debt with a very difficult year. Second, we were able to reach a reduction in our structural expense structure. We also confirmed the extraordinary capacity of our businesses in order to generate cash flows. All this proves that Grupo Argos is a flexible and prepared organization in order to prepare as a leader in the economic reactivation in all the territories where we operate today. And in light of these results, the company and its board will bring to the shareholder consideration a dividend of 382 pesos per stock that represents an increase aligned with the inflation of 2020. In addition, the organization will offer the option to its shareholders to receive the dividends in ordinary shares of Grupo Argos in cash or a combination, 50% shares, 50% cash. For this purpose, we want to keep the structural strength of the organization that has allowed us to sail that 2020 shock at the same time that we honor the commitments we have with our shareholders that have supported us through decades and that keep on helping us in the strategic vision of this group, and we want them to be here also in the long term. Finally, the commitment and discipline and rigorous management of the shock plan contributed to the mitigation of the effects of the pandemic and prove the strength, structural strength of the organization. 2020 ratified the benefit of counting with a portfolio of assets that in their majority are regulated or hired in the long term in order to ensure predictable and stable cash flow. But at the same time, it validated the convenience of diversity in order to mitigate and compensate the effects of the pandemic in some of the businesses. While we had airport closures, we also want to highlight the continuity and strength of the energy business, the progressive recovery of the road concessions, and better volumes in cement in the different regions where we have operations. We're optimistic about the future because besides our financial flexibility and the adaptation capacity that the group has proven in 2020, we're identifying positive signals in those markets that we participate, both in the infrastructure sector, and that will pull the results of our businesses in the United States. The new office projects investments for more than $1.9 billion, as a mechanism to create millions of employees, of employments, and renew the infrastructure. In Latin America, we have identified relevant opportunities in the professional administration of the assets that the region requires in order to keep on growing. And in Colombia, the structuring of a 26 project package is being organized. Under this line, the social and economic effects generated by the pandemic during 2020 ratified the role of companies as a main source of employment and investment, as vehicles to drive the development of economies and to create solutions that will offer progress and well-being to our citizens. The situation has proven that if companies thrive, companies and citizens thrive too. That's why we say with pride that we are working on a fund, education and employment fund, that wants through different educational programs and different commitments with different companies, employing a group of 2,000 youngsters, training another 6,000 youngsters, given that these are the populations that have been affected the most by the pandemic in Colombia. Initially, we'll be working on this pilot program with Confama and with Pro Antioquia and other companies that we expect also to be part of the program progressively in order to multiply this impact. In addition, we have been implementing a relief program, a support and rescue program for those vendors of the organization that have required so in order to ensure the subsistence of our value chains, in order to contribute to the national productive cycle, agreeing due dates, payment due dates, and helping to strengthen their businesses through mentorships offer professionals. This program is contributing to the protection of more than 25,000 employments of 800 small and medium-sized company. From the social aspect, we want to highlight the contributions of Grupo Empresarial Argos in order to face this current situation that exceeded 24 billion Colombian pesos at the end of 2020, with a donation of more than 10 billion Colombian pesos for the acquisition of health equipment, ER equipment, in order to strengthen the health system in Medellin and Antioquia, and with contributions also in departments such as Bolívar, Valle del Cauca, and Tolima. This special way of understanding and developing our businesses was recognized during 2020 by the Dow Jones Sustainability Index, which located Grupo Argos and its companies within the most sustainable around the world for 8th consecutive year. In this edition, Grupo Argos and Cementos Argos have consolidated for the 8th time as members of the Dow Jones Sustainability Index, highlighting or standing out as one of the companies with the best practices around business-related topics and environmental and social aspects. The group's companies also were mentioned in the sustainability yearbook, the S&P Global. Grupo Argos and Cemento Argos received the Silver Seal and Celsius the Bronze Seal as a recognition to a transparent, cross-cutting, and long-term focused management. This distinction brings together those companies that have had the best sustainable performance at a global level in order to recognize its efforts around economic, social, and environmental aspects. In this edition, the 2020 edition, 7,000 companies were evaluated, coming from 61 different industries, from which 13 of those are Colombian, including those that belong to Grupo Empresarial Argos. This recognition strengthened the trust in those different stakeholders, different international and national investors, in front of those companies that work in favor of long-term value generation. From the environmental angle, after a very careful analysis of each one of our operations, we established concrete goals in order to mitigate those effects coming from climate change. In this sense, we will reduce in a 46% the intensity of our emissions of carbon dioxide or greenhouse effects, equivalent to 1 million Colombian pesos of consolidated revenues for 2030, and we will simultaneously reduce 37% the emissions in terms of this component in an absolute manner, and we will advance in the risk and opportunity management in terms of climate change. This ambitious commitment asks from us to keep on advancing decisively in operational eco-efficiency, in the increase of electric energy parting from non-conventional renewable sources, and in the progressive substitution of fossil fuels for alternative fuels, in between other measures. I don't want to end this conference without thanking you all for your permanent support, and thank our more than 14,000 collaborators that make all these efforts possible, but moreover, has proven with its dedication and talent that we share that higher purpose of positively transforming the lives of millions of people through infrastructure, and that all of them have contributed ideas and knowledge in order to materialize this value proposal that has been shared with society. I want to thank you all for your attention, and I want to open now the Q&A session. Natalia can support us leading or coordinating any questions or queries that the audience might have. Thank you, Dr. Jorge Maria. I want to invite you all to ask questions through our Q&A widget. We have several now. Let me begin. First comes from Juliana Aguilar from Valores Bancolombia. She asks about the extension on the due date for Opain, or if it's just expected when with the revenues that are not being received, or if this is just for the period that the airport was closed, or if it contemplates another extension period. And in addition, she asks if in Quibdó there has been conversations with the authorities in order to compensate those revenues that had not been received. Well, thank you, Juliana, for the question. It's key, and I'm going to propose I'll be approaching this question at the same time. And this is a question, I'm sorry, I will be making a bit longer in order to convey this as best as we can, the reach of this agreement, because it's definitely fundamental for us and for the organization understanding the importance of these agreements. First thing is that the life of the concession ends in 2027, January 2027. So what we have agreed during this memorandum of understanding with ANI for the airport concession business is precisely the compensation of those regulated and not regulated revenues. Just remember that the airport has regulated revenues coming from the airport rates there that are in the contract, and non-regulated ones, product of those real estate activities or non-regulated services. During the lockdown, what happened is that we could not exercise the object of the contract. So because of this, the agreement parts from the recognition of the non-regulated and regulated revenue that has not been received. So meaning by this, the concession could exercise the object of its contract. So what's agreed is to restitute this non-received revenue that will start at the end of January 2027. And let me give the word to Mauricio, and he could explain the details of these operations. So the first concrete answer is, yeah, it does compensate for those revenues, regulated, non-regulated. Second question is if it just includes the period of suspension. The concrete answer is that this agreement, what establishes the compensation for that period between March and September, that was actually the period of suspension. So in this particular case, September, March, September, that was 6 months. Now, there's going to be a second negotiation round happening probably during April. We will be discussing the residual effects, product of lockdowns and those decisions that have been taken by the counterpart in order to compensate those revenues that were not received during October on. And in Quibdó, there's a different situation, but I would like to Mauricio to answer this, if you could maybe elaborate over this question. More specifically, I find very important, Mauricio, if you could share with the crowd the discussions that we'll be having with Annie. And the second part of the question, what happens from September, October on? Thank you, Jorge Mario. Warm greeting for you all. Good morning. Effectively, as you mentioned, we have a memorandum of understanding that establishes the criteria, the methodology of how the compensation will happen, where the most important is the restitution of 100% of the regulated and unregulated revenue that has not been received, and 100% of the costs or overcosts that we have acquired. So effectively, as Jorge Mario mentioned, under these lines, there's an agreement for that time where it was closed. It was March, September 2020. That's a total where we had a total suspension. And there's another agreement of economic equilibrium restitution for the next 6 months, October, March. And that's how we're going to be operating till we reestablish the traffic. And actually, the traffic year base was taken as 2019. So it's a compensation that has a figure that Jorge Mario mentioned, 350 billion Colombian pesos, 400 billion Colombian pesos, that translates into an extension on the due dates for the concession, and that start running since January 2027. So since then, we'll be adding about two or three more compensations, because according to the forecast that we have, according to the different forecasts that we have in terms of traffic, we would believe that this will be normalized at the end of 2022 or beginning of 2023. I insist once again, we are using as basis the traffic in 2019, and that's where we get that figure of 3.3 million passengers per month. In addition, we had taken a series of measures also due to the support of ANI in respect to the flexibilization of certain contractual obligations that have a very important impact on the OPEX, and the deferral of some charges such as those that have been added to the time of concession in order to flexibilize the operation. In the case of Keyport, effectively, we have been having conversations. A conversation have been happening a bit differently here, because the first thing we had to do is agree with Quito's municipality, who's the counterpart, the postergation of the master plan. This means delaying investments close to $82 million. One part was in 2020, another one in 2021. They were delayed till traffic come back up again. This is the agreement with REITs, and right now we are having conversations around compensation. Well, this is a conversation just starting, but there's a disposition. There's an openness from the counterpart, both from the Ecuador case and the Colombian case are completely aware of the impact that this generated, and they're aware that this stepped outside our hands. So this would be all that I would have to mention. Let me give the word back to Jorge Mario. Well, thank you, Mauricio. I think this is clearly explained. We would be open to answer any other questions if Juliana has any more doubts. Okay, we have another question from Juliana Aguilar, and ask, in terms of Cementos Argos dividends, will Grupo Argos receive this as shares? The answer would be yes. We will be receiving them as shares or stocks. Rodrigo Sanchez from Corredores de Aliento, and how much are we estimating the sources and for the holding in 2021? Okay, let me give the word to Alejandro. Because for me, this is fundamental for us to understand the sources and flows for the dividend flows that we have, and couple this with the dividend distribution flows and with the rest of the resource usages. I believe, Alejandro, this is a question that we need to give a certain level of detail in order to have a better context of, let me start by the conclusion. We have right now based on the different sources that we have, the way that we will be taking the dividends, the distribution proposal for dividends, and how do we expect this to be received by our shareholders in the market, finally supported by the business revenues, real estate business revenues, and also revenues coming from other sources. This leads to a point of equilibrium within the indebtedness and in the primary super EBIT. So this means that the company will balance revenues, revenue sources with its expenses. Also, with the structural reduction in this expense structure in order for the primary and super EBIT to be higher or equal to zero. But I want to give the word to Alejandro because structurally, I believe this is key for this to be detailed, given that it's relevant to understand that this situation does not lead to a higher structural indebtedness of the company. Alejandro, the word is yours. Well, thank you, Jorge, of course. Let me drill into a bit of detail here. First thing I would mention is that the construction for the cash flow of Grupo Argos is relatively simple. As a matter of fact, you can see that each one of the columns we always present how is the cash flow for the business. And first of all, let me say that the revenue composition that we have is mainly received dividends and disinvestments of the urban development business and other disinvestments that we might do different from the portfolio in a certain moment. For 2021, when we took the sources, generated sources from those items that I just previously mentioned, we have a budget of close to 523 billion Colombian pesos, approximately. This is what we have in terms of sources. Usages or uses are usually simple. Dividend payments, functioning expenses, interests, and taxes. It's basically that what generates our payments based on other investments that we might do in the future. When you look at the forecasted uses that we have for 2021, those usages are around 514 billion Colombian pesos. So we have a budgeted revenue of 583, and we have expenses for 514 billion Colombian pesos. This gives us a projection with an excess cash flow close to 9 billion Colombian pesos. Later on, I could make this breakdown just for you to understand better. 9 billion Colombian pesos that, remember, it's a custom that we have in our organization. Having a very adjusted cash flow and an absolute efficiency level. In 2019, just for you to have an idea, we closed our cash with 1.7 billion Colombian pesos. In 2020, we closed our cash with 24 billion Colombian pesos. We closed with a higher cash level given to what has been happening during the close of the year, that we saw that COVID was again affecting the country. So we decided to close with a cash flow that's higher than what we usually have. In this projection, we have 9 billion Colombian pesos. These uses go as follows. We have a projection or a forecast. I call it a forecast because this depends on how the market decides to take those dividends in shares or cash. So we used this formula. We would have to pay 240 billion Colombian pesos. The operational expenses, the total expenses would be 120 billion Colombian pesos, an estimated interest close to 94 billion Colombian pesos, and taxes around 60 billion Colombian pesos. So this, in a certain way, gives us equilibrium conditions and sustainability conditions also that Jorge mentioned that are key. Another way to make a cross-check is to see what happens with the indebtedness. And as Jorge mentioned, in this organization in 2019, we closed with 1.59 billion Colombian pesos in terms of leverage. In 2020, despite the shock plan that Jorge mentioned at the beginning, we effectively took a credit of 150 billion Colombian pesos and paid it completely at the end of the year because we didn't need the cash. We closed with 1.59 billion Colombian pesos. And for this year, according to these projections that I show you, we close with indebtedness level around 1.57 billion Colombian pesos. So this means that we keep a use and source structure that has a super EBIT without having to increase the leveraging level of the company in order for it to be completely flexible. With something additional that, as Jorge said, we don't have credit expiry dates for 2021. We have a due date in 2022 that, due to the mechanism that you use in terms of debt exchange, we're seeing how could we delay it another 7 years. This means that in 2022, we wouldn't have any expiry dates or due dates, and we don't have none for 2021. So this proves that from a financial flexibility point of view, we have lots of flexibility for the next 3 years. Perfect. We have Rodrigo Sanchez asking, which are the goals and strategic metrics for Grupo Argos that you want to reach in the mid and long term, and how are these behaving for the end of 2020? Well, Rodrigo, let me begin by illustrating a little bit about the strategic path that the company has been building upon. I think it's relevant being able to give a context about all this. The first thing that we've decided to become a relevant infrastructure player within the region in business, in construction material, in the material construction businesses, also for road and airport concessions. With the following particularity, or with a certain particularity, and that is developing a capital allocation activity within these businesses according to the best opportunities and the best risk profile according to each one of these. So meaning by this, Grupo Argos allocates capital within its businesses and within its businesses within the subsectors where we see the best opportunities in order to execute two simultaneous strategic paths. First one is the profitable growth, meaning by this, finding growth opportunities, always generating value over the capital cost. And second is the work that we have been executing the last couple of years of improving the operational metrics focused on a capital return for each one of our businesses, meaning by this, optimizing the EBITDA, and because of this, a increase in the capital return that we have allocated within the company. In that train of thought, we have been growing, and the metric, coming back to the question, is that in 2021, we will be increasing 182 basic points that return over the capital that has been implemented in a consolidated manner within the business and the different companies of the business. This would lead us in 2021 to be only 16 basic points under the weighted WACC of the apartment businesses. That's right now around 8.56. So we'll keep on growing. We'll keep on reallocating capital, making cash outs or debt structuring that will allow us to reallocate the capital in those businesses that belong to these three business groups, where we can see there's a potential value capture and where we can also leverage that growth in a better cash flow structure according to our current businesses. So this means a better revenue management, better cost, better structural expenses, much more focused on the primary efforts of each one of the businesses in order to have positive cash flows. With that long-term vision, we are very optimistic in capturing value towards the future. If you think about this, in 2021, there's going to be an increase of 180 points in the cost scoring, where there's still very important considerations in terms of the shocks that we have faced. We are not in a full recovery year, a post-COVID full recovery year. It's a much better perspective than 2020 for sure, But still, as we have proven on the graphs, the airport traffic, it's 1.4, 1.5 million passengers. We had 3.3 million in the past. And so this will have a recovery that will take some time, but we want to reach this past values that we had. The road traffics are still in similar values that we had in pre-COVID. But there's important growth around this also. Cement dispatches also have shown positive signals in the last months, but there's still an impact in many of the activities that surround the cement business. For example, Panama, they are highly affected yet in their economic dynamics. So with this, I want to say that changing this 181 points based on a better operation, better efficiency, and a better capital allocation is a very positive signal. Because in the moment that the full-on recovery comes back, the value generation of this group will be potentially very, very relevant. This from an economic point of view, focus in ROCE, focus in cash, focus in selective investments and profitable investments. Simultaneously, the organization has also set certain goals, working goals, in other fronts that we consider that are absolutely relevant. And I want to mention specifically the one that I mentioned during the conference, the climate change strategy. Grupo Argos has been articulating with other different businesses, cement, energy concessions, real estate business, a very rigorous execution and follow-up of CO2 emissions or greenhouse effect emissions. And as I mentioned before, we had set this goal for 2030. It's a very ambitious goal, but it's fully documented, reducing in 36% in absolute terms the CO2 emissions and 46% in terms of economic density, meaning by this in terms of tons of CO2 equivalent to the million pesos revenue. These goals have a concrete plan in each one of the companies, a transition to the energy businesses, to cleaner energy, substitution of alternative fuels, working with CO2 captures, with projects such as microalgae that we are working on cements, with clinker production, much greener clinker production as compared with the cement we had previous year. Cross-cutting efforts in our concession operations, such as El Dorado has done, from the generation up to waste management and water management. So all our impact in our operations will lead to a drop of 37% in terms of absolute emission values and 46% in terms of economic density. This is not a figure that should be taken lightly. We hope for this reduction to answer to the leadership that we maintain in terms of better behavior and better performance of industrial activities within our country and being among the best in the world. So this is a commitment that we have with our investors, that simultaneously we will keep our discipline and keeping to look for a larger growth, but at the same time execute an ambitious plan in terms of environmental mitigation and compensations. Okay, so we have a question from Joanna Castro from Itaú, asking about the statements given by Transportation Minister, where she said that the third runway for El Dorado is not optimal. And we're asked, how does this change our investment plans? And if the crisis has affected the investment schedule for other road and airport programs? Well, thank you. Thank you. Very good question. Thanks to Joanna. Well, I would first give you context and then give the word to Mauricio that might drill into a bit more detail about this, of what we've been doing. So, but I would say that the fundamental and first thing is that the organization has been working in some private initiatives around the Bogota airport system, that has been analyzed in this in a structural manner. That these are initiatives that have to do with the runways, how to improve the efficiency and the operations of those runways operated by El Dorado Airport. This was an initiative, private initiative proposed to ANI. And we've also been rethinking how could we increase the operations of Bogota's airport. We considered that the Bogota airport is a country asset, strategic asset, cannot be repeated, and it's probably among the best within the American continent due to its location, due to what it means in terms of cargo and passenger transportation. But in addition, El Dorado Airport will also be a fundamental pillar in the growth of this new economy, starting since now, is around the airport connectivity where this better and stronger economic development will happen. So what I want to say with this is a long-term effort. This is not a short-term effort. In that train of thought, it's also worth stepping back, coming back to last year, where the discussion revolved around the airport capacity in Bogota was not operating at its maximum. Obviously, today it's operating at a 50%. The question then is, when will it come back to 100% or even more than 100%? So here you need to analyze this a bit carefully. That's what we have, a projection between 18 and 20 million passengers. We're optimistic with the trends that we're seeing, but this will take some time getting back to these levels. But I do believe it will come back. These volumes will come back. There's elements that prove that traveling trends within families and businesses will come back in some scenarios even higher to what we had previously. Obviously, travel business trips will be coming back, but all of this will come back. So saying this, the Bogota airport will require investments once again for its growth. Probably not now. We're not saying that they have to be done since now, but these levels will come back. And Odinza, that's the one operating the concession and has the right to lead these initiatives, has structured some ideas that we believe that are optimal in terms of cost benefit. At the end, the airport's not owned by the concession, but it's owned by the nation. So the best cost efficiency operation in order to expand its capacity is what the nation should consider. That's the counterpart. If there's one railway, two or three railways constructed, I do respect all the positions. I believe that we need to understand the context where the different officials had made these comments, because maybe they're speaking about or referring themselves on studies that look at some of the considerations in a partial manner. But I do believe it's a discussion that will be happening in the future still, and the airport will have to consider its new railways, being a new railway within the airport or a new railway elsewhere. And we believe that what we have presented is a very good alternative in terms of cost efficiency. Let me give the word to Mauricio. Well, thank you, Jorge. Effectively, as you say, I would just add one thing just for a collective understanding. We have a pre-feasibility study, but what we present is modular. So it's something that has several phases because in between other things, this new railways, they cannot just happen out of the blue. We need to organize terminals, broadening the Puente Aéreo. So we'll have to see how this conversation evolves, because it needs to be broader, and we cannot just understand one-side declarations as the final decision. But we need to adjust ourselves according to the way these discussions evolve. The other question had to do with Cartagena, if I understand correctly. Effectively, the traffic has suffered, as we have explained previously. Traffic will recover, and Jorge has mentioned that we have elements to be optimistic about the recovery, even though that we cannot be completely sure how much time this will take. And this is a delay that will happen within projects. Nevertheless, the structuring process for an airport takes some time. And our proposal for Cartagena is also the thinking of the country is having a competitive airport for the country at right next to the sea in order to help developing further the Caribbean coast region. So I believe that this will probably have certain delays, but this does not mean that we are advancing slowly in terms of the structuring. But obviously, this time that will be about 2 or 3 or more years will help for the curves to recover. And I wanted to end by saying that the Cartagena Airport is an airport that's supposed to start operations in 2029, so it's not a short-term project, or that it had never been thought for it to begin operations around this close years. So what will happen here is that probably this will happen after 2030, when the airport would make the most sense and would make sense as a competitive answer for the country. Okay, we have one question from Daniel Varela from Porvenir and Diana Mosquera from Credicorp. They're asking about the road grid from El Meta. If we could speak a little bit about the changes in the scope, how the CAPEX dropped, and when do we start the road grid? It's a very important question. I'll give Mauricio the word, and then I could mention another couple of things according to the flow and everything. Well, yes, effectively, you know that this was the first private initiative established in the country. This was in 2014, 2015. It originally pretended to take the vehicle flows of Villavicencio up to Puente Limén. This is an absolutely necessary project as well as strategic for the country. And in the measure that structural changes started happening around the portfolio in terms of volumes and price, traffic started changing, and this led to the review for us reviewing the project. Well, finally, this ended in a project restructuring. This obviously changes the scope of the project. The project had 9 functional units. Right now, it has 5 functional units. In a very virtuous way, because the functional units that were defined are those functional units that, with our current traffic, can be developed. And within 10 years, within the contract review, there's a possibility of reviewing if the traffic is showing a higher behavior than what's forecasted. We could include or start works that had been suspended. So this means that the project goes, and just let me check the exact figure. The project drops in 60% the original CAPEX, going from 1.2 trillion to 500 billion. The OPEX, we have a drop of 44%, going from 1.9 to 1 billion, 1 trillion, sorry, in the OPEX, 1 trillion in the OPEX. This is an important reduction, close to 50% of the size of the contract, as the contract had been honored, and part of what allowed us to reach this agreement is that we have been honoring the contract constantly. Today, this contract has licenses, landlords, networks, grids, Phase 3 design, budget, absolutely everything. This will allow us to start fast. And part of that contractual agreement is honoring the agreements that we had to honor during the pre-construction phase. So, as Jorge Mario mentioned, we won't have to do equity contributions up to 2023. We don't have to do any new equity contribution. This equity that had already been contributed will be used for the construction phase. We have the responsibility, and we also have a plan for reaching a financial close for that project that has a traffic curve that's higher than what we had initially established. And we should be starting the construction phase around second semester. I'm not fully sure what month would this be, but it should be around August and October. It should be a project that we execute in a project close to 36 months. So it drops its reach to half. We don't have to do contributions up till 2023, 23 and 24. That would be last contributions. This implies 47 billion Colombian pesos of contributions for ADENSA in those 2 years. And the project is in the pre-operational phase and is practically ready to begin its construction. So saying it in a concrete way, it's a new project that's part of the road portfolio that the company has. We have a question from Daniel Guardiola. He has two questions. He's asking if we can share the initiatives that we have in terms of cost reduction for holding in 2021 and if we have any specific reduction goals. And he's also asking if, considering the price of the stock in 2020, if we are prioritizing the capital use in the repurchase of stocks for Grupo Argos. Well, thank you, Daniel, for your question. And I'll approach this from two different angles and just give you this answer. Structural expenses have not just been worked on through this last year, but for the last 5 years, we have been working on restructuring not just the holding, but in all our business group. Last year, as I mentioned, there was a consolidated reduction in the structural expenses for the group of a 9% in an amount close to 180 billion Colombian pesos. In the case of Grupo Argos, this reduction was higher even. It was a 10% reduction. The structural expenses that we mentioned and that are shown to the market, as Alejandro mentioned, of 129 billion Colombian pesos, but it's worth double-clicking on that expense structure. From that expense structure, only 61 billion Colombian pesos are the expenses that include the function of the holding. The rest of the expenses have to do with property taxes and costs around maintenance, operation, and real estate management. Given that all of the real estate management business is included, all its operation is also included in terms of property taxes, that's not low, and maintenance costs add to 67 billion Colombian pesos. So there is a reduction, there's a sequential reduction when we look at the care for last 5 years. So we're speaking about a 5% in terms of real values. We've been moving 5% year after year since 2006 till now. And right now we are in a level of 61 billion Colombian pesos. Sales are traced for 2021 in terms of maintaining and consolidating the level of structural expenses that we had in previous years. They're the premises of operation and normalization. In that train of thought, we began a very zero-based budget work, very conscious work, not just reducing the holding structure, but also the operational expenses that the company might inquire. And this has led to this reduction, this constant reduction, reaching this current levels. So with that, I believe that we're reaching irrational values and very efficient values for the size of an organization that we have intervening assets for COP 55 billion. In terms of the question, and I don't know if Alejandro can support me in this, or if maybe correct any of these figures, I'm just mentioning it out of memory, but this is the size of the magnitudes in stock repurchasing. As you might remember, stock repurchasing is an option that was approved for the previous year assembly, the previous board, sorry, that gave the board the possibility. And let me make a parenthesis. This has been regulated by now by the superintendency of making a repurchase in the moment that's considered necessary. Things that the option is still valid. It's under our radar. It's one of the options that the company would have. Obviously, as he was mentioned previously, the dividend policy that we have set and that, as he was explained by Alejandro, has the obligation of maintaining that level of indebtedness around zero or higher than zero. Besides the expectation of seeing how the market will take those shares under the proposal that we had made from the board to the shareholders, and this would be under the shareholder decision. It's also a possibility of having this option, but to be sincere, to be frank, under our current scheme, this would have to depend on extraordinary operations that are not budgeted right now, by which the company will always be able to access the mechanism. That's it's a mechanism of giving back capital to our shareholders, taking this as an option of having available capital to do so. But in principle, this would be an option that we are not considering. I have questions with 5G. I'll combine two. Daniel Barella from Porvenir and Rodrigo Sanchez from Credicorp. They're asking, what is the foreseeable landscape in the 5G firepower that Odinsa would have in that terms? And how do you see the changes being proposed in the concession contract? Mauricio, you want to answer these questions? Perfect. Generally speaking, the 5G contracts are contracts that evolve in certain aspects over the 4G ones. Just wanted to mention three topics. They have an environmental component, a social component that's much more explicit with larger scope that we see as something positive. And you know about our vocation, about the way we execute our projects. In the case of Pacifico 2, that's well known by all. So we feel comfortable with these types of things being in the contracts. We even foresee that the risk metrics are pretty similar to the 4G. It's something that the financial sector and the different concessionaries know how to administrate and adequately manage. And there's also a very important component in terms of total or partial suspensions of traffic. We've foreseen the mechanisms for compensation in case of facing such events as we had last year with COVID, with COVID-19. In these types of contracts, we had detailed these types of situations in order to mitigate these effects. So in general, these contracts are an evolution, and we see them as a positive evolution. According to discussions with the government and the changes being proposed by the government, we have been monitoring them. Some are more attractive than others because they fit much better strategically under the assets that we have nowadays, but we also believe that's important for this to advance. We have been working on a series of initiatives within Odinsa that will allow us to have liquidity mechanisms that maybe Pablo could mention a bit further on if it's necessary, that allow us to have that firepower. And bearing this in mind is that we are thinking on participating specifically in the first 5G project that will be coming out, that expires tomorrow. Tomorrow is the due date to present proposals for Vía del Cauca. We believe this is a very important project for the company. It's part of our strategic scope in the way that we would have to set the flows in the case that we get this contract. This would come from the actions that we're taking in order to have the liquidity necessary within the company. And we'll keep on analyzing the portfolio in order to contrast this between the strategic aspect, our capacity, and the execution capacity that we have. Okay, so I want to thank you all for your participation. Thank you, Dr. Jorge Mario. Thank you, Dr. Mauricio, Alejandro, Rafael, Pablo, for being with us today, all the participants. Any additional doubts, questions, or queries, we are more than open from the Investor Relations unit to answer any questions. Thank you all. Have a nice day.